So, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. And I just ask that as we go through these verses, Lord, that you would speak to our lives, that you would help us, Lord, to know you better, and to walk with you closer, Lord. And like it says in your word, Lord, lead us in the way everlasting. You've been so good. You've got so much ahead of us. Just keep us, Lord, from silly extremes and keep us, Lord, focused on you and walking with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So if we turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 19, it just seems like this is the chapter we're never able to get out of lately. It's like the verse 11, it says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches.' Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?' Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." So we were here last week, and we pointed out a few things. And I would like to point out a few more things from the passage. The first thing I'd like to get our focus on is these itinerant exorcists. The second thing I would like to focus on is what happened within the Christians, the Ephesian church. What was the reaction after what happened to the exorcist? Number one, notice that these men were trying to imitate the Apostle Paul because of the way the Lord Jesus had worked through Paul. They saw a mighty power, that they saw the Spirit of God doing extraordinary things through the hands of the Apostle Paul, through his clothing. So the itinerant exorcist, they kind of thought, "Oh, wow, that's cool." And they thought, "We would like to be able to do that too." Now, you know, it's obvious that the sick were being healed, the possessed were being delivered, and they wanted to implement this into their so-called ministry by mimic. They wanted to add Jesus to their collection of spells and rituals which they used. You've got to think that some people just have an awful lot of power in some kind of position. In some cultures, it's a witch doctor. In other cultures, it might be a lawyer. And I'm just kidding. And, you know, there's all kinds of people with authority over people, whether it's tarot cards, whether it's, spiritists, different things. They have a grip on people's conscience and their vulnerabilities. And sometimes what they want to do is just add another trick to their bag of to their hat of tricks as such. And you know, when I was in the Tarahumara in Mexico, the Tarahumara Indians in the canyons there, I remember that there was a witch doctor there. And it was crazy to me that he would do all these spells. You too, huh? they would have the witch doctor would do all these spells for the sick in the tribe, where the witch doctor would go to the missionaries for medicine. You know, so you just kind of thought, man, so it was just kind of crazy. But what we need to realize is this: Jesus is holy. He did not come to be added to our world and our lives, our philosophy, or our religion. He didn't come to be added to us. He came to take over and renew everything. And I think there's some pretty, pretty strong passages in the Bible that would show us that the Lord is not into copying things or sort of try to manufacture the work of God. He wants to do a holy work. In Leviticus 10, we have the astonishing event that to me is similar to some degree. It's got its differences, but there is a similarity. It says in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, that Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. You've got to think. I mean, God is tells Moses how to build a temple. And when the sacrifice comes, God, by his holy fire, sends it and starts the fire that was never to go out. It was a fire started by God himself. That fire was never to be put out. You should always keep it burning, it says in Leviticus 6. The fire should never go out. Every morning, put wood in the fire. And then these sons of Aaron, they sort of get their own fire. And says, and we're going to light things up. And the Lord just sent his fire and consumed them. It was profane fire. It was copied fire. It was not the fire of God. And God told Moses to tell Aaron this. He says, and Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. Think about this. His two children were just consumed by God. And he had to hold his peace because his two children had used profane fire in the holy work of God. And to me, it's no different than these seven guys all of a sudden seeing the fire of God or the Spirit of God working through the life of the Apostle Paul. And they just sort of want to borrow the name of Jesus as if it was some mystical thing, and says, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, we command you. And the demons replied, Jesus we know, and Paul we know. It's an interesting thing. There's two different words. Jesus we gnosko, we know well. Paul we recognize. We know that he belongs to Jesus. But who in the world are you? And you know what? God allowed the devil to just give him a good beating. As an object lesson, not just for them, but for all of Ephesus, that God is holy And he does not share his glory with anybody else. We don't add God, we don't add Jesus to our theories, our philosophies, our past religion. He comes to renew everything, transform everything, and do a fresh work. And you guys just heard me. I mean, I was a Roman Catholic for many years, and I was a Mormon. When Jesus came into my life, he didn't come for me to add him to those things. He came to renew everything. Renew everything. There's another example, Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, where Peter and John prayed for the Holy Spirit to come upon the Samaritans. And Simon says, hey, how much money can I give you so when I lay my hands on somebody, I can do that too? And Peter replied, oh, just 50 bucks will be fine. He looked at them and he says, your money perish with you, for you thought you could buy the gift of God. And then the guy was just shaken by it all. What was he? He was a magician who wanted to add Jesus to his show. He loved the power. And he didn't want to submit to the lordship of Jesus. As such, he wanted the power of Jesus so he could bring respect for himself. Jesus did not come to be added to our vocabulary. Jesus didn't come to be added to our hat of tricks. He came and works so that we will look to him and be saved first and foremost. He came to save us. He came to transform us. He didn't come so we would just add Jesus to our lives. The world is full of tricksters. The world is full of people who rip people off in every area. You guys heard about the comet in Russia recently? On the internet, you can already, as soon as it went down, you could already buy pieces of it. It's just crazy. I'm amazed at the way that people know how to make money out of ripping people off. And it's no wonder that people would use the name of Jesus for their own purposes. Tricksters, people who have agendas and use the name of Jesus for their own ends. And Christians, to me, can be so gullible. So gullible. I mean, you often hear this, but he mentioned Jesus. He said the name Jesus. He even said Jesus is Lord, so he must be a Christian. And a lot of times we find ourselves dealing with people who mention the name of Jesus, but are actually driven by the spirit of Satan. I know it sounds kind of harsh, but what is Mormonism? Who founded Mormonism? Think about it. It completely contradicts the person and work of Jesus Christ. Who founded Islam? Completely contradicts the fact that Jesus died on the cross, said that actually Judas was there. And people read the Quran and say, well, Jesus is there. Must be the same religion. People read the Book of Mormon. Hey, Jesus is there. Why shouldn't the Indians have gone to South America? We talked to a spiritist. Hey, she mentioned Jesus. We talked to a tarot card person. Oh, well, they say, because they'll tell you this. Hey, I believe in Jesus. And Christians just say, well, they mentioned Jesus, so it must be okay. And you know what? Jesus is jealous. And he gave this object lesson to the Ephesians so they would realize that you cannot mix the two. They were to be saved utterly and completely from the paganism and be brought to Christ fully. And some, it seems, in the Ephesian church were still walking the line. They weren't sure which way to fall. We'll see it in a minute. Number two about these itinerant preachers or exorcists. Notice they tried to copy Paul. Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? They tried using the name of Jesus and it didn't work. John Corson said this very briefly. He says, I have been here. This is just an application. He says, I've been here. I fell naked in my own energy. I have tried to imitate someone else. If you want to be fruitful and effective in your service for Jesus Christ, don't try to copy another's anointing. Instead, seek the Lord. Spend time with Him. I love this one. Log in some history with Him. And He will work in and through you effectively, uniquely, and powerfully. You see, these people, they said this. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, they coveted the ministry of Paul and they wanted to mimic it. Well, Jesus doesn't want that. We're not just workers for Jesus and workers for God. We are co-laborers with Jesus. So in other words, He doesn't hire down the chain. He hires directly. And He wants people who know Him personally. He's not interested in us just working for Him. He's interested in us knowing Him and growing deeper with Him. And out of the fruit of that would be a unique, powerful ministry in its own unique way in the body. I mean, can you imagine my liver trying to mimic my kidneys? No, my liver needs to be connected to my brain. Can you imagine my hand trying to mimic my feet? Trying to copy it, it's got to be connected to the brain. In the same way, we are to be first. You've ever heard, God has no grandchildren. He only has children. And you know what? There's something within us where we covet other people's ministries, don't we? I do. I'm going to confess it right here, right now. And sometimes I covet yours. Yeah, just sitting there taking notes, you know? No, I mean, but the reality is that sometimes you hear someone say something or you hear somebody's story or you watch God use somebody. And the temptation in our lives is, oh, man, to compare ourselves and think, man, God's not using me. And then we try to copy somebody else rather than pressing into Jesus and being who He has created us to be. The secret of Paul was not the mention of a name, but the relationship to that name. Sometimes in this superstitious world that we live in, I almost think that people think the name of Jesus is a magic thing. Jesus' name is not a magic thing. There's power in His name, but not magical power. And God works. I mean, I know firsthand. I know what it's like as a non-Christian to have nightmares and to call myself on the name of Jesus and say, oh, Jesus, and to say our Father. And I know what it's like to be delivered from that fear and from those attacks. But it is not a mystical thing. It was actually a real person coming to the aid. But as I grow as a Christian, I got to get away from thinking that it is some mystical, magical name. We say Jesus and everything changes in that situation, you know, for my good. It's not like that. God was working so mightily through Paul because Jesus had told Paul, I have a ministry for you. And Paul didn't say, okay, give me the ministry and let's forget you. He said, who are you, Lord, and what do you want me to do? And he spent the rest of his life drawing near to Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, he says, oh, that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. He was not caught up in trying to mimic somebody else's ministry. He was caught up in being close to Jesus. So the secret of Paul was not the mention of the name, but the relationship that he had to that name. He's the one that said, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. His life was radically changed that day on the road to Damascus, never to be the same. Never to go back to those rituals that he had been a part of. Never to go back to his old thing. He had been crucified. And then, and the life he lived by faith in the Son of God. There was a close, dynamic relationship to Jesus. So when these people, these men tried to copy when they were beaten, the news of this went out everywhere. Have you guys watched the news about the comet? Wasn't it crazy? Did you watch how that happened? I mean, the comet comes into Earth, and you know, we've heard of comets before. And I've heard of comets coming into the Earth and the atmosphere. Is that what it's called? The shield around it? What is it called? The atmosphere protecting us and them falling. They break into pieces and never affects the Earth, ever. You know, that's what I heard all the time. And all of a sudden, this comet comes through and it sends a wave of the power of an atomic bomb, shatters windows everywhere. I bet you those people that experience that will never be able to hear about comets the same way again. The news spread. I mean, they've experienced this thing, and those around, next time they think there's a near miss of a comet, they're going to be like, oh my, where do I go, you know? But they'll never live the same way again. In the same way, they were shaken to the core, these people in Ephesus. Because you see, these people in Ephesus was just completely soaked in superstitions. And it was also in bondage to the idols they thought would help them. And in turn, they opened themselves to the occult and the demonic. See how it goes? You get superstitious about stuff. In order to protect yourself from the superstitions that you have, you begin to get yourself the stones, the crystals, the arrows, the different things that you can use to protect, which in turn, these people had opened themselves up, and that's why, to the occult, and that's why Jesus came. That is why Jesus was using the Apostle Paul to deliver them from this bondage. He was delivering them from it. They were superstitious, and that created a chain reaction that brought them straight under the power of the devil. And we say, well, that was those people. Crazy Ephesians. And now Jesus has delivered the world from it all. And now we're no longer in bondage to anything. And in some ways, we're like the children of Israel. We've never been in bondage. Oh, really? What about Egypt, you know? But superstition today is as rampant, if not more, than it was then. Superstition, the definition is a belief or practice resulting from ignorance, fear of the unknown, trust in the magic or chance, or a false conception of causation. An irrational abject attitude of mind toward the supernatural nature or God resulting from superstition, or a notion maintained despite evidence to the contrary. Today, We have people that are just completely, completely superstitious. Even within the Christian realm, within Christian people that have been delivered from this, there are people that are seeped in superstition. If there is triskaidekaphobia, have you ever heard of that? Never, neither had I. I just did a search on Google. Google's my friend. Top 10 superstitious. Number one was this one. The fear of the number 13. Friday the 13th being the worst. 13 guests coming for dinner. Whoa, is that? Let's add another one. Or take away one. Otis Elevators estimates that 85% of elevators have no floor 13. But let me assure you that there's a 13th floor. To me, it's just so ridiculous. It's not called 13, but it is 13. You know, you got one on top of the other. Unless you leave it empty, but then you're on top of 13 that might collapse. Ay, ay, ay. Black cat crossing from right to left is a bad omen. But from left to right, cat is granting favorable times for you. Okay. Crossing your fingers is more a hoping sometimes happening, something happens in a good way. Let's cross our fingers and hope for the best. Don't cross your fingers means it probably is not going to happen. Knock on wood is more, knock on wood keeps bad luck away. Walking under a ladder, a triangle considered a symbol of life, it is considered tempting your fate. Spilling salt is bad luck. But throwing salt over your left shoulder is good luck. Four-leaf clover are rare. Such leaves can bring good luck. Burning a candle inside a jack-o'-lantern on Halloween keeps evil spirits away. And if you see a spider on Halloween, then the spirit of a loved one is watching out for you. Boy, I think we got Ephesus beaten. But you see, that's not, the superstition is just the beginning. The superstition is the beginning because superstition leads you to want some kind of antidote for it, which leads you in turn to sort of search out how to protect yourself from these things. Which gets you into buying. The other day I went to, I actually went with Scott to go buy Abby's engagement ring. And I went into a place, and we're looking for candles, and I'm looking for candles, and we're underneath Plaza Mayor, and I go into the shop, and I say, here's candles. And it said, protect your home. Get the spirits away. And I was just like, those are nice candles. And then I realized I'd gone into, what is it called? What kind of store? Esoteric store. I didn't realize that. I kind of thought, wow. And I just kind of thought, I can't believe the stuff that people buy to protect themselves. I went online yesterday, and you can buy arrowheads that protect you from certain things. I actually wrote some of them here. I think I did anyway. Yeah, an arrow. If you wear an arrowhead amulet on a silver chain for protection from illness and to guard against the evil eye. I didn't ever heard with the evil eye, but it keeps coming up in these things. Italian horn or unicorn associated with good luck and good fortune. It also wards out the evil eye. Cat's eye. This gemstone removes obstacles and hindrances from your life and will ward off evil forces and black magic spirits and protect you from the evil eye. You know, I'm just like, what in the world is the evil eye? Well, the evil eye is if you get sort of jealous and then you look at him, somebody with jealousy, you pass out negative energy to that person and it affects them. But you got to think, people get superstitious. And then people start looking into these things, which in turn, it opens people to the occult. And next thing you know, this is where it gets really dangerous. Because you see, superstition is bad. We shouldn't be superstitious. A silver arrow, these stones, to me, a stone is a stone. An arrow is an arrow. There's nothing in it. But when you start relying on these things for protection and for stuff, you begin to open yourself up to the occult, to the hidden powers, to white magic, white witches, black witches, whatever you want to call it. And that should have no part in our lives. And we are bombarded at the moment with something that Mark said, that people call themselves non-religious but spiritual. And they're into all kinds of stuff, and they don't mind adding the name of Jesus to it a little bit. But when you get to the core of what they believe and what they are, it's just the occult and straight from Satan. Superstitions, methods, charms, meditations, white magic, healers, man, they will take you right when you're vulnerable. When things are going bad in your life, they will come and say, well, you know, there must be a curse in your life, and we got to use this thing and that thing. And of course, things are going bad, so you want to be delivered from this stuff. So then next thing you know, you've been dabbling, and you begin to dabble with this stuff. And the Ephesians were dabbling with this stuff because they were not trusting that Jesus is enough. You guys... Well, most of you guys know stuff, personal stuff that we have gone through. And at one point, we had a lady here. And after the service, she seemed to have been really moved. And to me, it seemed like it. And she says, can I speak to you, please? And I said, sure. And I thought I was going to help this lady out to get closer to Jesus. And she says to me, I am... a channeler, and energy flows through me. I believe in Jesus, huh? She said to me, I believe in Jesus. But when I lay my hands on people, energy flows through me, and they get healed. It's no different than these Jewish exorcists. They exercise a power that has nothing to do with Jesus. They just use the name of Jesus. And the Christian should have nothing to do with this stuff. Paul said this, who has bewitched you? Who has put a spell on you that you began so well with Jesus that all of a sudden you have to rely on these other things? Who has bewitched you? I went to get a massage once. I've gone twice, I think, in my whole life. And every time thinking that it's going to be just this great thing, you know. And I just want like a sports massage. I just want rawr, you know, just kind of like, I want to feel pain, you know, just kind of like get the knots out and whatever. And I went to a guy because I didn't want a girl giving me a massage, you know. And then I regretted it. I was just like, oh, man, it was even weirder. And this guy grabs me. And I just wanted a head massage only, you know. Because I have never been to one before, you know, so you can see that I'm really limited by it all. And next thing you know, he's just massaging my head, and he's like, okay, breathe like this, and I'm like, you know, and next thing you know, he's done with the whole thing, and he says, you know what? I could see that you were outside of yourself. And I was not outside of myself. I was right there the whole time. I was so conscious, like, what is this guy doing? I was this supposed to be relaxing, you know? And I had such a miserable 30 minutes. But you know what? We should not be involved. We should be really careful. There's nothing wrong with getting a massage, but be careful with people that are sort of spiritual in that way, and they begin to sort of get you to empty your mind and meditate on this thing, or people that are, as we're anxious about the future, and they come to court us, and it's like, well, I know a girl, man, she believes in Jesus, but she can tell you what the future holds for you. Or be careful with is it astrology? Or astronomy? Which astrology? These people that, I mean, I even as a non-Christian, I would read the horoscope and said that would fit for anybody. We as Christians should not be involved with that. Even what we watch, stuff that we watch on TV, movies that we watch, are you able to filter? Are you able? Do you have, first of all, even have the discernment? Not just to watch a movie, but are you able to watch a movie and think biblically and say, this is straight from the pit of hell? And you know what? I'm not a person to not watch movies or not listening to secular music, but I'll tell you what, I'm picky. And you bet yours, I'm watching or I'm listening, I'm sifting things, I'm sifting through the Bible, and I'm going, whoa, what is this preaching at me? And you know what? The crazy thing is that when this happened to these seven people, Ephesus was shocked. And you know what they did? Some of them had become Christians, but they were still flirting. They were still flirting with this other stuff. And when this happened, they took their stuff from home. Because they had all this research and potions and ways of doing this stuff. And they brought everything out and said, look, guys, we've been trusting in this stuff and we are so sorry. And they put it in the middle of town and they burned it all. Man. Listen to this. This is William Barclay, who was actually Barbara's principal in school. Right? Is that right? Nothing can more definitely show the reality of the change than the fact that in superstition-ridden Ephesus, they were willing to burn the books and charms which were so profitable to them. They are an example to us. They made the cleanest of clean breaks, even though it meant abandoning the things that were their livelihood. It is all too true that many of us hate our sins, but either we cannot leave them at all, or we do so with a lingering and backward look. There are times when only the clean and final break will suffice. I love that. And you know what? It was $4.5 million worth of books that they burned that day. And be careful. It was not the moment you burn books, You then soon after you begin to burn people. That was not the case. They were burning their own books. And they had a clean break. And some of them could have rationalized and could have said, well, you know, I'm not a magician anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with this, but I'll sell it. They didn't sell it. They burned it. It was final. They didn't even want to make any money out of it. And they could have. They repented by the masses. And you know what? The Bible speaks of a godly sorrow and a worldly sorrow. The Bible speaks of a sorrow that when you realize, man, you've been dabbling in something, your confidence is no longer Jesus Christ. Your confidence is philosophies, other people's enchantments, mysticism. And I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, the repentance. That is not just feeling sorry for one moment and saying, oh man, yeah, that's wrong. Yeah, I probably shouldn't be doing that. It's all right. The Bible says that worldly sorrow produces death. But godly sorrow. Produces life. And he says this, look at the way you vindicated. You wanted to be clear in this area, for you repented with a godly repentance. I know sometimes we're really vulnerable. And sometimes the temptation is to lean on things. I know sometimes we're curious. And we want to know certain things. But let me ask you something. How has God failed you? How has Jesus failed you? You can't have Jesus and Buddhism. You can't have Jesus and Eastern religions. You can't have Jesus and tarot cards. You can't have Jesus and superstition about what crosses the street. Jesus has come to set us completely free from all of that stuff. I don't care if I go under a ladder, above a ladder, in between the steps of the ladder, if a cat goes right and left and then up and down, and if on the way I trip and I shatter a mirror, who cares? So we must get rid of superstition in our life. Our confidence is not in some unknown happenings. Our confidence is in the fact that Jesus died for us and He rose, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So therefore, we should not lean on any kind of aid, spiritual aid, other than Jesus Christ. He's all in all. And you know, sometimes I really have a difficult time at church. You know, because on the one hand, I want to be patient as a pastor. On the other hand, sometimes I just want to grab a couple of you and really shake you. Yeah, you know, and I'm talking about hard. I'm talking about I just want to just shake you and say, why in the world do you still hold on to that stuff? Make a clean break. Jesus is not added to your life. He's come to transform your life and to take over your life. And you need to let go of, not like Barclay said, with a looking back like Lot's wife. It's like we're letting go of some, yeah, but my horoscope. Every day was so nice. No, it wasn't. It's got nothing to offer you. You can find your future and your worth, and you can find everything that you need in the Scriptures. And I feel like there's no clean break. And you know what? A fear that I have is that we'll have a mumble jumble of people here who all say the name of Jesus but all believe different things. Where the Apostle Paul, and right into the Corinthians, I pray that you all would speak the same things. They were of one accord in what they believed. They knew Jesus of Nazareth, who was handed over by Pontius Pilate. crucified, who rose again on the third day, who poured out his Spirit at Pentecost. They knew exactly who they were talking about. So the next time that a guy says to you or a girl says to you, "Oh yeah, I'm a doctor, or I'm this, and I'm spiritual too, and I believe in Jesus." Yeah, of course. Yeah, Jesus is great. And then he says, "Now energy is going to flow from me." You know what I would say? Run. I would say, "Run, baby, run." Sometimes it's not a matter of flirting with stuff like this. And, you know, I hate to use, I mean, part of me is, the whole time I've been wanting to say this, but I hesitate. I just feel like, man, it's a bit harsh. But the Bible says it, so why should I think it's harsh? The book of Hosea, God told Hosea to marry a prostitute. One that he would marry, and then he knew that she was going to prostitute herself with many lovers. And he says, "That is my nation, Israel." She who conceived them has behaved shamefully, for she said, "I will go after my lovers, who will give me my bread and my water." And in Jeremiah 2, if you turn with me, look what God says there. Look at verse 11. "Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory. For what does not profit? Be astonished, O heavens." I mean, Jeremiah is just calling, God is just calling the heavens, everybody, "O heavens," at this. "And be horrified, horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns at that, that can hold no water." And the picture of a harlot and the picture of the people taking, here's living water flowing, never stopping, and they make themselves a well, but a well with a hole that can't even hold water. It's nuts. And you know what? We should not be involved with any other God than Jesus Christ. And if you've held on to anything till today, if you flirt with the idea, "Well, other things are okay," woe to you. Jesus gave it all for you, so you will be free from all that. And if you have been, change. Put your confidence in Jesus, not some charm on your wrist. Not some potion, not some paper last page with the horoscope, not some doctor that's going to supposedly let some energy flow through them to you. And you will be tempted, but you need to let go of that stuff. And as movies go, there's a little song that oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. 'Cause the mountain above is mountain. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. You know? And songs like, you know, that's a good song to know. It's a good song to know. Yeah? Be careful, little ears, what you hear. And you know what? People hate preachers, man. They don't like preaching. They don't like teaching. But man, music is preaching at our kids 24/7. Movies are preaching at our kids. And we say, hey. And I think we have to be very selective, because what goes in will come out. Paul said it, do not be deceived. What you sow, you will reap. Be careful of the philosophies, guys. So let's be a people that have no other gods. Jesus. And if He chooses not to give us something, then we trust Him. If He chooses to heal us, we trust Him. But let's not do the tragedy of Saul, who he was made king, and in his paranoia, he began to seek mediums. And God was just shocked at the whole thing. How could a guy that started so well, so humble, end up forsaking the living God and asking dead people questions? Have nothing to do with that. Let's pray. Father,